So I appreciate the projection. Not a doctor yet, working on it here at University of Illinois Chicago. So I'll give our plug for any UIC folks that are here. So welcome to Chicago, everybody. My name is Matt Ringenberg, and I'm with the Illinois Department of Public Health. I work in our Office of Preparedness and Response with the department in Peoria as a regional emergency response coordinator. So I've been in public health for about 15 years, the last six with the department as a regional coordinator. Prior to that, I did about 10 years in local public health county levels with mainly in the environmental health areas. I live in Peoria, which is about 3 hours south of here. So that's a little bit about me. So, Dr. Adams said, my talk here is going to be on public health and hospital design of our knowledge management system. So, you know, our office was really kind of born out of 9/11 and subsequent anthrax attacks. We were formed formally in about 2001, 2002 timeframe. The knowledge that has come out of our really preparedness response has evolved rapidly over the course of that. So knowledge management has become a pressing issue for us in the department, and certainly for our hospitals and health departments across the state. So you know, this is kind of our attempt to reel in some of those a lot of the information that's coming through to them and try to manage that in a way that they can understand and apply that in their areas. My disclosure is no relationships to disclose here, so just wanted to get that in as a requirement of APHA. So our knowledge management system is coined the Comprehensive Emergency Management Program. We refer to it as CEMP within our agency. And so what is that? That's our enterprise content management system for the tech folks out here. This is a cloud-based system that really is the major benefits for us and for our organizations that are a part of it, our members that are part of our CEMP. It allows for a cross-jurisdictional and cross-organizational knowledge management environment. So not only can we put our information, our intelligence, our knowledge management into this system for our use as a state health department, but we can both share out and collect information between our state partner agencies, down in between our local health departments and hospitals, and between local health departments and hospitals. And that's been a major feature for our system in really managing it and taking advantage of the capacity of this system. So kind of the guiding philosophy behind this, we made as a department and as an organization a decision when we started rolling out a lot of our what primarily was mass prophylaxis planning 10 years ago. We made a decision very early to say, you know, we're not going to write plans for everybody and have them implement those plans into their local health departments or local hospitals. We allowed them, we gave them guidance, we gave them some templates, and worked with them to define best practices. But we let them do their own planning, work with their partners. You know, we didn't want to say, you have to do it this way. We let them take their local approaches to things. And we provided them, like I said, some help and some assistance with that. What we realized after years of doing that was, we have 102 counties across the state. We have, I think at one point we had 200 plus hospitals that were participating members. Well, that turned into 300 different plans that we were suddenly managing, and that became very difficult when we tried to talk on the same page. You know, what are you doing here? What are you doing there? You know, we found different terminology. We found different practices and procedures. We found different planning partners that we were being brought to the table. So the idea that we tried to go to with more of an ideal state was to try to bring a lot of the commonalities together with that, and not necessarily write plans for folks, because we know, you know, if you try to write a plan, especially a template plan or a uniform plan, give it to somebody and say, here's your plan, it just doesn't work well. They don't adopt it. It looks good on paper, but when you try to implement those plans, they still have to do things to adapt it and work with it. So certainly we've tried to standardize and bring together more uniform guidance and a better understanding of really the philosophy behind that planning, but then allow the locals, both hospitals and health departments, to implement those plans through their planning section. So we're moving a little more towards that ideal state of, not necessarily writing their plans for them, but having everybody more on the same page with this system and some of the abilities that we have within that system. So again, one of the things that we really will promote through this talk is both horizontal and vertical integration of our planning efforts and the information that comes out of that. So we'll talk on this a little bit in a bit, but there's really a two-way, more than a two-way street that we have going with these different systems. So we talk about the SEMP environment within the Illinois Department of Public Health, but really for each system, for each participating health department and hospital, they have their own systems that they work with. And then all of those systems feed into the larger environment of that we have access to and ability to work with in as the Department of Public Health. And then similarly, we have not only do we have information that we're pulling and sharing out with our partners, but within those health departments and hospitals, whether that be in the same jurisdiction, neighboring jurisdictions, they can share between those organizations. So if there's information, most recently we've had a lot of planning efforts going on in the Ebola front. So we had a lot of people that were really doing regional planning efforts, and they were able to share. Neighboring jurisdictions would talk about, well, how are we going to get, if we have a symptomatic patient, how do we get them from our county that share the same ambulance provider a couple hours away to the hospital that's going to be receiving them. So the ability to work between those systems and share information between those systems was critical for their planning efforts. And then we organized those into regional systems that we have on the health department side. We have 7 systems. On the hospitals, we have 11, and then those feed into the state system. So this is just a little better picture of our health department system. So again, we kind of feed into the IDPH system, share that out with 7 regional systems, and then within those, again, we have health departments that really manage their own systems within each of those regions. So each layer is really intended just more to organize some of those systems and really kind of work within the individual systems that then share into the larger environment. And then Chicago Department of Public Health has also has a system with our Comprehensive Emergency Management Program. As a direct-funded city, they have kind of their own system that they work with, but we certainly integrate our systems so there's common operating pictures within there. Similarly, on the hospital side, again, we kind of break those up regionally as far as an organizational layer. We share out feedback both between IDPH all the way down to the local user systems that, again, manage and develop their own content within there. And so this is kind of the cycle that we work towards that kind of guides a lot of what we do within this system. So the main thing that we use this for is to be able to review and analyze information. So how do we do that? We use experience, knowledge, and intelligence, right? So, at this point we have, I think last count, we have like 3,400 users, registered users in the system. So that's, those are individuals that can bring their experience, their knowledge, and add information, be able to pull information that we're able to provide them and others are able to provide them, and then provide feedback and increase the level of planning that's going on within that system based on their experience and knowledge. So that's been a huge factor for us. The intelligence and knowledge we'll go into as far as some examples that we're using. Strategic leadership, one of the things that really we found beneficial, we have a governance committee that brings in both state representatives, local representatives on the health department and hospital side. And so really the leadership at this point is really focused on, if we throw out volumes and volumes of information to folks, it's difficult for them to get to that area, that opportunity for awareness and learning. There's just too much information for them to be able to really do anything with. So our SEMP governance really has kind of focused on how do we, in an organized fashion, and get this information to them that's both useful to them and in turn gets the information that we need out to them, and then in turn gets that information back to us at the state agency. So the strategic leadership has really kind of worked with us as a state agency and our local partners on how to best get that information out, what best practices as a local health department to be able to put back into the system, and have that level of communication. So some examples of how we kind of put this into play. Again, my program is in the emergency response area, so I'll just kind of define some of the terms that we use. So our capability planning guides, these are public health and healthcare capabilities planning guides. It's a decision support tool. It's really kind of we do this on an annual assessment basis for our health departments and hospitals. So we're part of a process now that the CDC and ASPR have put out as far as the response capabilities across 15 capabilities, 8 of them shared on the hospital side. And it's an opportunity every year to say, okay, what progress have we made in our ability to complete and satisfy these capabilities? And so just to kind of give you an example of how some of these work out, how this feeds into a larger system. I can't see this very well, but so this is an individual assessment, and I think this is a community preparedness assessment, so I know you can't see these, so I'm just going to kind of read these off. The areas that they kind of that they assess themselves across are the function importance. So as a community, how important do I think community preparedness is? And they would self-rank those with their local partners on this. Their current ability to complete that capability, so the function status. They will rank certain things on function challenges and barriers. So are there personnel issues? Are there training barriers that they're meeting? Is there equipment barriers that they're identifying as things that are preventing them from fully complying with this particular capability? Task gap assessments and resource element gap assessments. So again, are there resources that they have identified that would help them to further their efforts in this area? This feeds then into kind of an overall. So that was an individual assessment based on capability one, which is community preparedness. This is a snapshot of a local health department's assessment across all of their capabilities. So it kind of gives them ability to look at all 15 capabilities and where they're at as far as an individual health department. And this helps them share not only information to us, this is information we pull from them, but it helps to give a snapshot for their community members to say, this is where you have helped us assess to say where we're at as a community and a health agency within there. And so then that feeds in, that was in a particular county in the region that I work with, which is Knox County. That then feeds into reports that we generate at a regional and state level. So again, this gives us snapshots. This is a snapshot of all the health departments across our region, which is the Peoria region, and then across all 15 capabilities. So it's, again, intelligence and information that we can bring back to them. As a regional coordinator, I use this information quite a bit to say, all right, here's, you know, we have quarterly meetings to say, Knox County, you guys said you were doing very well in epidemiological investigations as a capability. Can you present information on what your best practices are across the region so that we can share that information and how you got to that point? Similarly, we go across all the capabilities and we'll pull out, and they may not report here what their best practices or their policies that allowed them to get there, but we can go to them as a group and say, can you share with us what you're doing that makes you so good in this particular capability? And then again, that feeds into statewide reports. So that helps us kind of track statewide what our progression is across the number of different years. So you can see here, it gives us data really at this point in percentage form across the different capabilities. So we can look at, you know, particular areas like, you know, we say community recovery is one that we were lower in. So as a state, what are some guidance? What are some procedures? What are some templates that we can give them that would help at a state level have an impact on local health department's ability to increase their community recovery ability? So again, some other reports that we're able to pull out of that, you know, this is kind of a tug and pull between how important a particular health department thinks a capability is and what their current status in meeting that ability. So just to kind of help you out with these, the gold or the yellow is how important a health department thinks a particular function is or capability is, and then the blue is how what their current status is. So this, again, kind of helps. We can break this out locally. We can break this out regionally. We can break this out statewide to say, okay, we think this is a very important capability, but we're only so able to meet that capability. So that shows a gap in where we need to be working towards to meet what we, as both a local community, as a regional coalition, or as at a statewide level, where do we need to be focusing our efforts to have the most improvement impact? So this kind of helps, again, kind of rank down. This particular one shows a barrier summary. So, again, I can break this down both locally, regionally, and statewide to show what are the barriers to meeting some of these things. So across the board, and this kind of helps rank this out, lack of personnel due to funding issues. Okay, so that was the number one across all capabilities, across all health departments in this particular report. Lack of funding was the number one issue. Okay, so what can we do to address that? In Illinois, not much at this point, but that should be something that we can bring to our elected officials in those types of things to say that's something that is an issue. How do we address this? Next thing up would be lack of trained personnel. Okay, so does that speak to the lack of personnel in particular? Yes, but then where do we focus on this for that training would be our next step, right? So those are the types of things that we're able to pull out of these reports. And then we can map these geographically. And so I pull this ability up just to show this this ability. So we'll talk about a little bit more about this on in the next section. So again, that's some intelligence and some information that we're able to not only provide, but to be able to pull and to start making some decisions at multiple different levels on how, you know, where should we focus our different resources on this. Hazard vulnerability assessments, again, just for the terminology of this, these HVAs are kind of a different assessment that locals would do, both at a hospital and a health department level, that they would, it kind of ranks the hazards in their different communities and helps get a common picture between hospitals, health departments, emergency management agencies, on what hazards should they be focusing on for their particular communities. It really provides a needs assessment for the emergency management program and guides the direction that they're focusing their efforts on. So this is an information, we kind of talked about the intelligence, the information, some of the knowledge management that we're able to insert and infuse into the system or using the system. And this is an example of how we do that. So, you know, the ultimate goal is that they're doing an assessment on this. And, you know, a lot of times we'll say, for instance, you know, one of the themes that we saw coming out last year or 2 years ago, suddenly with some of the St. Louis, for example, had a lot of civil unrest, right? And we've seen that across some organizations, some communities across the nation. St. Louis was one of the communities hit here locally, and we had a lot of communication, a lot of talk about that. All of a sudden, we saw hazard vulnerability assessments that were showing certain community civil unrest as a high priority. And that came out of, you know, what current events were, certainly, and that was information that we were able to pull. But the data didn't necessarily support some of that. So what we were able to do and our consultants have worked very hard on doing is pulling in some information and some knowledge so that some actual historical data that might help feed their assessments as they're doing. So that we're not relying specifically on program experience or what the current events may be. Certainly those should play a factor into those assessments, but we want to bring a historical perspective to that along with the knowledge that comes with this information. So this particular one we pulled out was information on anthrax. So it gives general introduction on the information of anthrax. What is it? What is its impact historically within our state and across the nation and the world? What are some historical events that we've documented along with that? So, again, just gives a perspective to everybody so that when you're bringing in members from across the state agencies, across local agencies, they may not be as familiar with anthrax and its impact as local health department or hospital partners. So it gives them information to get everybody on the same page so that we can have an educated discussion on what is the potential hazard, what is the potential impact on our community for this agent. And so with that information, again, it leads into just another assessment. Again, it's an interface that would assesses adversarial and human cause hazards, which is anthrax, and the probability and frequency. So is it very unlikely, somewhat unlikely, somewhat likely, likely, or very likely? So they kind of do a ranking scale on that. And again, that just helps prioritize those hazards across that particular community so that they know where to focus their efforts on. And again, that just feeds into, you know, across all of the different hazards that are part of this hazard vulnerability assessment, it ranks out what those particular hazards are. We kind of break those into natural hazards, man-made hazards, those types of things that you'll see across the spectrum of an HVA. Again, that's very similar to the CPG, that we rank those and roll those into regional assessments. So not only do we have information now that the local community can kind of focus their resources on, but at a regional level, you know, are there five of us building the same plan for anthrax? Can we get together and share some of our information in that planning effort? Because we all have the same, you know, we've identified that as a major risk. And again, that then feeds into statewide data that we can use to provide, you know, guidance for what should we be giving out and where should we be focusing our efforts at a statewide level as far as our resources for guidance and templates. So again, some of the reports that we're able to pull out of this is, again, just shows a ranking of common practice for most of the communities that we have here, that they would pick their top five hazards as part of the hazard vulnerability assessment to develop plans and resources for. So not surprisingly, we see severe thunderstorms is up there, ice hazards, winter hazards, so weather-related types of things that we see are common issues that we'll show across the different regions. And again, we kind of roll this into statewide, both regional and statewide data. And then geographically, we can map that out. And this particular map shows the projected impact of a technological hazard. And so, you know, we talked about the opportunity to see these geographically on a previous slide, but I think this shows a better demo here, where you can see kind of the Chicago area, what their projected impact of a technological, if they lost power for a week at a time, what the impact would be. All, you know, you can see geographically that they have they've assessed, and rightfully so, I think, the impact there would be, commonly a high impact. So that kind of jumps out when you're looking at that geographic ability to show that. So again, information sharing. So we've talked about some of the intelligence and the knowledge that we're able to pull out of that system. So in turn, what are we able to both pull in and provide back to the different health departments? So planning becomes a big piece of that. So as we develop state plans, we're able to share those plans out. Not that dictates what the local health departments or hospitals are doing, but it allows them to write and develop their plans based on where they know they need to meet us in their planning efforts. And so we're able to share that information out and provide that data across the board to them. Just to give an example of some of the planning efforts and some of the information that goes into that, and as an example of how this works, we have something as simple as contact information that has become extremely valuable to us, right? So when we have emergencies that our duty officers need to respond to, this is a common place that folks can go into and provide contact information. They do this with their plans. They do this with their other resources. That immediately updates us. And you can see here that they're sharing that with across a couple of different sections. So with us as the Illinois Department of Public Health in the region to provide that same information out to us. So that's how it appears very similarly. It crosses those systems. Not only updates in their system, but then updates in our system, so we have that information. We have that same level of version control across different plans and across our different resource listings. And so that just kind of shows that it it jumps across those different systems. Similarly, when we, this is an example of us sharing our planning elements out to them. Okay, so it shows this is the IDPH system, and it's shared out to the different local health departments and hospitals at the very same level that we are. So if we update our plan, they immediately have the same updates accessible to them in their systems. So it's just an example of how we're immediately sharing that information out in a real-time manner. And then variable user access, again, one of the features of our system is we can provide, certainly at a state level, but the locals have control of who they're bringing into their systems and who they're sharing that information with. The idea of this is not that we want to hold information, it's to share it out to as many people as we can, as many appropriate people as we can. And so one of the features that we have here is that we can not only give them, we can give users control across the system, or we can narrow it down to what their particular field of interest is. So in this case, our SNS program coordinator is here, Dr. Little. So this is an example of a work group that she had for her statewide SNS partners. Those partners don't necessarily need to know what our continuity of operations plan is for our organization. So we not that we restricted their access to it, but we don't want to flood them with information that they don't need either. So we've given them access to the medical countermeasure section of our planning efforts and the things that would pertain to those particular areas. And so we can control, you know, not only across the system, but within that system what they have access to. So again, this, so the value in that, again, bringing it across all those different users is they can provide different comments to them. So we're able to, you know, you can see here this is a plan that we had that they're able to provide comments to say that we like this or we need to add these particular elements to the plan to benefit them. And then this is just an example of how we can kind of track their entry into the system and what kind of comments they're making to help facilitate our planning efforts and provide the best plans, not only for us, but then how that would impact both our local health departments and hospital partners. And so that's kind of an overview of our system and how we use that for knowledge management within our department for our emergency response program. So my contact information up there if anybody needs it. Thank you.